Hello, ladies and germs. This is Tim Ferriss, and welcome to the brand new Tribe of Mentors podcast. For those who have no background on me, I'm an author, early stage investor in 50 plus companies like Facebook, Twitter, Uber, Alibaba, and many others, and the host of The Tim Ferriss Show, which is a long form podcast with more than 200 million downloads. Tribe of Mentors, this new gig, is an experimental podcast similar in flavor to The Tim Ferriss Show, but much shorter. Much more distilled. This is season one, planned for 10 to 15 episodes. And instead of my usual 2 to 4 hour interviews, Tribe of Mentors packs a punch, or so it's intended, in, say, 10 to 30 minutes on average, and delivers tools, habits, and lessons learned from world-class performers in every field you can imagine. So you can think of this as a caffeine jolt of not just inspiration, but also tactical advice that you can use. The Tribe of Mentors podcast is largely adapted from my new book of the same name, Tribe of Mentors, subtitled Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, which details the routines, habits, tools of more than 130 people who are the best at what they do, including elite athletes like Kelly Slater and Dara Torres, legendary coaches like Dan Gable, at least a dozen billionaires and iconic investors, co-founders of companies like Facebook, Twitter, Dropbox, Craigslist, and others, poker and cryptocurrency, phenoms, and many geniuses you've never, ever heard of. In some cases, those are my favorites. And you can learn all about Tribe of Mentors at tribeofmentors.com. That's the book, or find it wherever books are sold. But let's get into the audio interview. Our guest today is Katrin Tanya Davidsdottir. And I'm sure I'm mangling that because it is Icelandic with a lot of diacritical marks over the letters. You can find her on Instagram at Katrin Tanya, KatrinTanja, Facebook, Katrin Davidsdottir, that's DavidsDottir. And Katrin, my apologies, my Icelandic is not Frábært, so forgive me, vinsamlegast. That's all I got you. Katrin is an Icelandic CrossFit athlete, but that's really an understatement. She is the 2015 and 2016 CrossFit Games Women's Champion, which christened her the fittest woman on earth. What is the book or books you've given most as a gift and why? Or what are 1 to 3 books that have greatly influenced your life?
My absolute favorite book, and one that I actually have given as a gift a couple times, is Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court by John Wooden. And it's just one of my absolute favorites. My grandpa was actually a basketball player back in the day, and he gave me this book a couple years ago. And while I was reading the book, Wooden's approach to training resonates a lot with me and my coach, Ben Bergeron, and the way that we like to approach our own training. Reading the book, I found myself constantly nodding in agreement. His philosophies don't only apply in the gym or on the competition floor, but to life in general. I always feel like sports are a microscopic view of life. The same principles and lessons apply, but they're just more apparent in sports. My favorite part about this book, though, is probably the foreword from one of Wooden's former players, Bill Walsh. The way he talks about the relationship and what he had learned from his coach is absolutely beautiful, and it still sits with me. The other book is The Champion's Mind, How Champions Think, Train, and Thrive by Jim Evermo. And this one's probably my favorite because it was the first psychology book that I ever picked up, and it was at the exact right moment. It was the summer of 2014, right after I failed to qualify for the 2014 CrossFit Games. And at the time, you know, that was the only thing that I wanted to do, and I was working so hard towards it, and you know, that summer I could have easily fallen into the mindset of, I don't belong, I'm not good enough, I failed. But reading the book gave me a way better perspective. I wasn't a failure. I had just failed at a certain event, past tense. What could I do in this exact moment to get better? It got me focusing on giving my absolute best in any given situation without the pressure of constantly stacking myself up to others. And at the same time as I started reading the book, I started working with my coach, Ben, and he really focuses on all the same things. He would talk to me before training or after workout, sometimes during, and all of it just kind of started coming together. And the new mindset allowed me to truly fall in love with the process and the sport and everything involved with it.
What purchase of $100 or less has most positively impacted your life in the last 6 months or in recent memory?
This one is actually from Matt Fraser, who is my training partner. And he taught, I can't remember when he told me, it must be like a year ago or not even. I know it's supposed to be in the last 6 months, but this is absolutely brilliant. He told me about this lamp that I can't remember what it's called. My one is a Philips, and it's just like a light. It looks like a big light bulb, and you set it as an alarm, and it starts gradually like lighting up so that maybe like 30 minutes before you wake up. So it's almost like waking up naturally. So it's like almost like there's sunlight in your room. And it just starts gradual and then it's all the way bright by the time that you set your alarm to. And it doesn't, and then you can pick your alarm tone. So mine is like, it's birds singing. So you're you just wake up with birds singing every morning. And it's actually changed the way that I wake up so much because I never feel groggy or tired. I mean, I always make sure that I get enough sleep, but it still helps me wake up in a sense that I always feel ready to wake up. It feels like I'm waking up in the right time. What is a favorite exercise or a valuable one that most CrossFitters or athletes neglect? Definitely the mind. It's so easy to get caught up in the physical, to get a faster mile time or a bigger squat number, faster thrusters or better pull-ups. But at the elite level where everyone is so fit and so strong and so physically capable that it's almost always it's the mind that is going to separate. If you're asking about an exercise, I would say it's the basic fitness. It's hanging around your lactic threshold for an extended period of time, and it's hard, but that's where the magic happens. It's not going guns and blazing through a workout, and it's not talking pace either. It's hanging out right where you might start dropping off soon, but you can hold on. Once your general fitness is higher, your recovery is better between lifts and between events, and it translates into so many other things. And the easiest way for me to start to understand it and to start being able to apply it to different things was running. I just felt it's so obvious when you're on a track what pace you're holding, what pace you can hold for a 10K, for a 5K, for a 400, for a 100-meter sprint. And it just gets you to understand the different paces and what you can do. And it also, the more I started running and the more at your lactic threshold, so those are going to be more like, you know, 600, 800, 1200-meter repeats. That got my fitness so much better, and that translated into everything else in CrossFit, and it actually helped me kind of learn how to breathe while under tension.
How has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success? Do you have any favorite failure of yours?
I actually do have a favorite failure. It sounds kind of funny, but when I started CrossFit, I became good right away. Not great and not one of the best, but good enough to make the CrossFit Games. I made the CrossFit Games both in 2012 and 2013, and I was very happy with being a CrossFit Games athlete and almost just defined myself as that. And I think that can kind of sometimes be, sometimes it's enough to just make it. I didn't really have any specific goals once I got there. You know, I was just very happy with making it there and being one of the competitors at the games. At the time, I was a full-time student and coach at the same time as I was trying to train for the CrossFit Games. And I've always been a hard worker, but looking back at my training, it was more of like a go through the motions and check the boxes approach. Getting the work done for the sole sake of getting the work done. At the time, I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do in school, and I didn't love coaching. Both of those things were things that I just felt like I should be doing. The CrossFit Games were the only thing that I really wanted to be doing, and I failed to qualify in 2014. It was seemingly the biggest failure of my life. It was absolutely devastating, but it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. Not making it that year showed me how much I truly wanted to be there and how hard I was willing to work for it. I took the summer off, started reading sports psychology, and when I was ready to get back to it, I was really ready. I asked Ben to become my full-time coach, and I later made the decision to put school on hold, stop coaching, and move from Iceland to Boston so I could truly put everything that I had into CrossFit alongside my coach. I absolutely loved it. This was at the beginning of 2015, and we ended up winning the 2015 CrossFit Games in that July. Failing to make the 2014 CrossFit Games was the best thing that ever could have happened to me in a life-altering event. It's so, I laugh at this all the time too. So I'd been to a training camp with Ben before. He wasn't my coach at the time. So we were friends and I knew him. And after I didn't make it, he sends me a text and, you know, he just says, "You might not see this right now, but this could become the best thing that ever happened to you." And I remember looking at that text and I was so mad. I literally couldn't understand how I could see anything good in that. And at the time, I didn't see anything good in that. And of course, my family had planned to go on holiday. And of course, I had planned to train. So my dad asked me if, you know, if I now wanted to join the holiday. And I did go to Morocco and did take the time off. And you know, once I got back and once I got into training and you know, that whole year I had that feeling of I wanted to make it so bad. And it's really cool how looking back at it, how you can see how in the moment it seemed to be the worst thing that could happen to me and it turned out to be the best thing ever. I wouldn't have the life I have or the opportunities that I have or maybe not even worked as hard if I hadn't gone through that event in my life.
What is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made?
For this one, I'm going to say my plane ticket from Iceland to Boston in early 2014 to attend a training camp with Ben at CFNE. So that was the first time that I ever kind of got to know them and really worked with him and his athletes. And it was almost all of the money that I had at the time. But I just really wanted to work with them. And he wasn't my coach at the time, but going there for that training camp ultimately led to him becoming my full-time coach and led to some of my closest relationships. And yeah, it's just, I mean, at that time, I was just a full-time student and I had a part-time job. So it's funny to think that if I had any money in my bank account, it was like, okay, I can go to Boston. But it was a good choice.
When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
I know I always talk about how much I absolutely love what I do. And This is my favorite thing in the world to do, to get to train every day and become better. But sometimes things aren't easy or fun, and times get really hard. And those are the moments that I tell myself that really count. Anyone can go to the gym and work very hard when they want to and when they're motivated. It's easy to have the right thoughts in your head when you're happy and things are going your way. But who does it when they don't feel like it? Even when they're tired, even when they're sore, even when everything is hurting in your body, or when you're tired, or when you just want to do something else, when your friends are going out, you know? It's in those situations when my why helps me. And my why is my grandma and her light. She was always my biggest supporter and my best friend and my rock in this world. And it's always been that way ever since I was a little girl in gymnastics. She would have the loudest cheer in the stands. I could always hear her. Or at CrossFit events, everyone knew who my grandma was. She was absolutely amazing. And she was just one of those people that she lit up every room that she was in. And when I moved from Iceland to Boston to train there full time, we told each other that we would still always be together. And we always said that. You know, we knew that we were going to miss each other. But we always said that. We said we're always together. And, you know, we'd stay connected and we'd FaceTime probably every day and talk a lot. And I always felt like she was with me. And this is what we were going to do right now. We wanted to focus on CrossFit and we were going to give it everything that we had. So, but very suddenly in 2016, she passed away. And that probably was and still is one of the, or is the hardest thing that I've ever had to go through. It was so sudden and I couldn't understand why or how. And it's crazy because I moved there in January and I was going to come back in like February and visit and go back and somehow with my schedule, I'd been doing open announcements for CrossFit and traveling and competing, and kind of that takes away from training. So I'd just been traveling so much that I hadn't made it back home. And it's almost crazy that this one, it was just this one morning and it was in April and I just got this urge that I really wanted to go home. And suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, like in May, our regional start, which is the qualification for the CrossFit Games. And I was like, if I don't go right now, like I can't go right before regionals. And then I'm going to be like, hopefully competing to go to, or training to go to the game. So I felt like it was my last chance to go home. And I tried calling her and she didn't answer. So I called my mom and I was like, hey mom, like I'm thinking about coming home. And she's like, okay. She's like, when? I was like, on Thursday. So I was going to leave the day after and it's an overnight flight. And so I booked my flight and I was literally texting my grandma in caps lock, like I'm coming home. And my mom's like, don't tell her, like let's surprise her. So we ended up not telling her and I land that Thursday morning. And so my mom picked me up at the airport and we just got breakfast and she had invited my grandparents to come over for breakfast. And oh my gosh, when she walked in, because they didn't know I was in Iceland. It was so, my grandparents both just like stared at me almost like it looks like me, but I'm in Boston. So who is that girl that looks like me? And it like took them, it felt like such a long time and it felt so long to kind of notice that it was actually me standing there in the living room. And she just starts crying her eyes out and I'm just crying. We were so happy to see each other. And I got to spend that whole week at home and with my grandma. And that week she jumped on a trampoline for the first time in her life. And then I left after that week, and 4 days after I left, she was in the hospital, and she passed away about a week after I left home. So it still means the absolute world to me that I got to spend that last week with her, and it's still just crazy to me. But that's something that I will be thankful for and treasure for the rest of my life. So now it's like, when things get tough, I always know that she's right there with me. I always think of her, I always think of her light. I always try and bring her energy to anything that I do. Yeah. Yeah, she's always with me.
In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
It's the belief that my best is enough. I think when we compete or in day-to-day life, whatever it is, it's so easy to get caught up in the thought that, you know, to win the competition, a training day, or whatever the task that you're doing, you must do something extraordinary. You must do something that's better than your own abilities. Something that you've never done before. And I've actually found that my absolute best is the best possible outcome. That's a win. You can't do any better than your best. To do your best, it sounds easy. I think it's because we use it too much. I'm just going to go out there and do my best. But it's anything but. It requires everything that you've got and no less. But the beauty of it all is that it's totally within your control. You can always give your absolute best effort regardless of physical state or circumstances. So to me, that's always a win. You know, whether you can't always get your best smile time, that's out of your control. You know, you might have done a big workout. You might have done 3 competition events before. But you could always go as hard as you can go in that moment and get the best time that you can in that mile at that time. I was working with Reebok a couple years ago. It was after my win in 2015. I got to make my own tank. And I remember I didn't know what I wanted it to be. And I wanted it to be something that meant a lot to me. And I wanted a slogan that resonated with me and something that I live by. And what I end up going with is, be the best me. And that's something that I try and go by in everything that I do. I always want to give my absolute best effort. I always want to be the absolute best version of myself. And, you know, I went with it and I live by that a lot. But it didn't hit me until a little bit later how many other people it's resonated with and how many people come up to me and say that they saw that in the CrossFit Games documentary that I was talking about it or an interview that I did and how much it helped them become the best version of themselves. And there was a member at the gym that I go to here, CrossFit New England, that sent me an email and it just read, "You are changing lives." And I open it, and one of his friends had shared this college essay of one of his little cousins or his little niece, and she was saying that in 2014, she was very depressed, and she just kind of like, she was just going through the motions. She would do all of her schoolwork just to get by. But she wouldn't really do anything else. She didn't really leave her dorm. She didn't really leave her house. And on Memorial Day weekend, one of her aunt comes over and she's raving about this workout, Murph, that everyone's going to go do at her CrossFit gym. And she was saying that her aunt was so excited and enthusiastic about it all that she was like, okay, like, she just go check it out. And she went with her to a CrossFit gym, and this workout is it starts with 1 mile run, and then it goes 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and another mile run. It's a big workout. It's a hard workout. And she remember looking at it, and everyone is just so sweaty and working so hard. It's a very hard workout. And but everyone was so happy and everyone was so supportive of one another and cheering one another on. And after the workout, she starts talking to some of the members at the gym, and she just felt like they were so welcoming and encouraging her, and she actually decides to join the gym. So she started CrossFit at this point. And shortly after she starts, she watches the documentary about the 2015 games. And I have a big role in that. And I guess in one of the interviews, she said that it really stuck with her when I was talking about be the best you. And she just said that it had her like start thinking about her life and how she had let kind of like her depression manifest itself. And she was kind of like living in it and thinking about becoming the best version of herself. It kind of helped her break out of that. It helped her challenge herself. She started challenging herself and doing things in the gym that she never thought that she would be able to do before. And seeing that she can do that in the gym just kind of translated into everything else in her life. So working so hard in the gym and getting that pull-up and, you know, working on her pull-ups until her hands tore, it kind of like, it taught her to have this drive that she could just work on something so hard until she'd succeed. And it's just getting that email and reading that, that means more to me than anything else. You know, that I feel extremely lucky and privileged, and I think about it every single day, how thankful I am that I get to wake up and I get to do what I absolutely love the most in this world. Like, I love working out, and I love working so hard towards competing, and I love competing when I know that I feel ready. And through that and through my hard work and through my dedication and love for this sport, that I can inspire others to become the best version of themselves. That is, yeah, that means more to me than I can ever put into words. You know, that's a big why for me too. That pushes me when I'm having a tough time and I know that me being in the gym today can push someone else, make someone better, make someone else, make another life better who might, you know, it's a domino effect. They're gonna be happy and make someone else's life better. So, yeah.
Hey guys, Tim Ferriss again. If you enjoyed this, just a little taste of this guest, then you will love Tribe of Mentors, the book. Subtitle, Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, which details the routines, habits, and tools of more than 130 people who are the best at what they do. And you can pick and choose. It is a choose-your-own-adventure buffet, but you have just about everyone imaginable. And you can find free chapters, the full list of mentors at tribeofmentors.com and wherever books are sold. So take a look, tribeofmentors.com.